Nervous this morning, but I believe anytime you stand for God, you ought to be a little nervous. If not, something bad wrong. He's way better than we deserve. He's been way better than me than I deserve. This morning, I'm not used to having the scripture behind me, but I don't never title a message. I'll be honest with you. I never title one. I just preach the thought that the Lord gives me. But this morning, as I was sitting over there, I was thinking the Lord was leading me somewhere different, but I believe he's going to leave us right where we're at, and I thank him for that this morning. This morning, I got a title for you. It's called, Are You Ready for Battle? Are you ready for battle this morning? Before we get started, my name is Dylan Jones. Like you said, I do attend Piney Grove Baptist Church in Gresham. I'm from Conway, South Carolina, in between Antler and Myrtle Beach. I'm sure everybody knows where Myrtle Beach is at. That is my wife, Ashley. I do have two kids that decided they wanted to go to church with my mother-in-law this morning, my father-in-law, instead of come with daddy. So that's all good. But I thank y'all for an opportunity to stand. I thank God for opportunity to stand. Like Brother Timmy told you, ever since I've made my call to preach known, there's not been very many times that I ain't preached somewhere. So I just thank the Lord for that, and I pray he keeps it coming. I enjoy standing for him. It's a different kind of joy when you get to tell people about Jesus. I'm sure Brother Timmy can back that up. It's a different kind of joy. Like I said, I get nervous. I feel like I'm not worthy every time I do it. But it's a joy when it's all said and done that you have, that you wouldn't have if you didn't obey. This morning, I want you to obey him. If he lays something on your mind to say, hey, just say it. If he lays it on your mind to amen and shout, just shout. You won't bother me, I promise. If he lays it on your mind to come to the altar and just get something off your mind, you just come on. You won't bother me, I promise. We'll keep right on preaching. Hey, we'll do what the Lord does this morning. But if you got your Bibles, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. Very familiar scripture. We're going to start reading verse 10 this morning. Like I said, it's a very familiar scripture. If you've been in church any amount of time, or even if you ain't, you'll recognize this scripture this morning. I'm sure you've heard it. I'm sure you've heard it taught. I'm sure you've heard it preached. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning on verse 10, it says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, of all taking the shield, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. Let us pray. Our dear most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you, God, for another opportunity to stand this morning, God. God, I ask you to go there with me, God, as I just try to bring your word for just a little while, God. God, I ask you to bring back the remembrance of my studies tonight or this morning, God. God, I ask you just to touch this service this morning, God. God, if there's one here this morning that's battling, God, we just ask you to remind them, God, that they must keep on the whole armor of God this morning, God. God, if there's one here this morning that knows nothing about your armor, God. God, that's never been suited up, God, for battle, I ask you this morning be the morning that they find salvation, God. God, if there's one here this morning that's broken, God, that needs mending, God, that they'll just come bring it to you this morning and get it right, God. God, the backslidden, God, just bring them back to the fold this morning, God, before it's everlasting too late, God. God, again, I ask you just to use me, God. God, that you get the glory for whatever's said here this morning, God, for whatever's preached, God. Just put me out the way, God, that you'll be glorified. In your heavenly name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, like I said, it's a very familiar piece of scripture here. And Paul's writing to us and he says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. You must be strong in the Lord. He's warning us here that the devil's going to fight us. Hey, I'm sure anybody in here, if you raise your hand if you've ever had a fight that you feel like with the devil. Hey, I'm telling you, I feel like the devil fights me every day. I feel like since I've announced my call to preach, all I did was just paint a big old target on my back. Ever since you've told people that you've got saved, you know what you've done? You painted a big target on your back. The devil's just trying to knock you down. He's going to go to and fro just like he did with Job. He's trying to find somebody to try. Hey, and there's many days that I feel like every day I wake up, he's on my back. But Paul tells us that we must be strong and we must know the power and the might of the Lord. Hey, can I tell you one thing about the devil this morning? We must remember that he's already been defeated. Hey, no matter how strong you feel like he is, he's already been defeated. No matter how hard you feel like he's fighting, he's already been defeated. But we see that Paul tells us to be strong. We see that Paul tells us that we must put on the whole armor that we can withstand the wiles of the devil. If you don't know what that word wiles means, that just means the methods, the schemes. He's going to do whatever it takes to beat you down. Paul says you must have the whole armor on to be able to withstand that. Hey, I'm telling you, it's hard. But we must remember that the devil's already been defeated. That's very important this morning. Hey, but I want you to notice that it says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Hey, he's more than flesh and blood. I want you to know that the devil has power this morning. The devil has power. He knows what it's going to take to get you down. And I'm trying not to preach the message before we get there. But we see that Paul tells us about the armor. He tells us about that we must have our loins girded and our breastplate of righteousness on, our feet shod with the gospel of the preparation of the gospel of peace. We must take the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts, the helmet of salvation. And I like that last one, the sword of the Spirit. Yeah. Who's got their sword this morning? Everybody knows what the sword is, right? The sword's your Bible. I hope you got your Bible. Hey, I don't mean nothing bad by what I'm fixing to say, but I'm telling you, there's just something different about having the paper copy in front of you this morning. The screens are great. The following that screen's wonderful. Hey, but if you just got the paper copy, it's different. Hey, I believe everywhere you go, you want to have your sword with you this morning. I believe every vehicle I got's got a sword in it. Hey, I believe some of my vehicles has got two or three swords in them. I'm not going to lie to you. I know the car we drove to church this morning, I know for a fact there was four in it this morning. I got two in there and my wife's got two in there. Hey, you need to have a sword everywhere you go because it's a battle everywhere you go. The first point I want to point out in Scripture this morning is the enemy. In every battle, there is an enemy. Every battle, there is an enemy. You know what the definition of a battle is? It's a fight between armed forces in a war or a long, hard struggle against a problem, a disease, or a difficult situation. Hey, there's a battle this morning. I want you to see the enemy that's in this battle. I hope everybody knows who the enemy is. We've already talked about it. Paul told us right there in the second verse that you read, the enemy is the devil. Your adversary is the devil. He's the one that wants you to struggle. He's the one that wants to beat you down. He's the one that don't want you to follow God. He's the one that when sickness comes in your life, he wants you to give up. He's the one that's going to tell you you can't make it. Hey, he's the one that's going to tell you the choir done a bad job this morning. He's the one that's going to tell you that the sister didn't sing good this morning. He's the one that's going to tell me that the message that I preach don't go nowhere. Hey, he's the one that told the Sunday school teacher he wasted his time. Hey, he's the one that does all that to us. You know what the enemy wants to do? He wants to destroy you. He wants to devour you. Hey, 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober. Keep a straight mind. Keep your mind sharp. Be vigilant. Be ready. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Hey, he wants to kill you this morning. He wants to beat you down. He wants to get you so low that you think God can't reach down and help you this morning. Hey, I'm telling you, it don't matter what you're battling this morning, God can get you. We see that the enemy is in the battle this morning. Hey, he's seeking who he may devour. Can I tell you one thing about the devil? The devil knows you by name, and the devil knows what you've done. Hey, but let me tell you what the devil does. The devil will bring up the past. The devil's going to call you by what you've done, not by what your name is. Can I tell you what Jesus will do? Hey, he'll call you by your name, not what you've done. Hey, I thank him this morning. There is an enemy in the battle. We must be aware that the enemy's in the battle. Hey, I like right there in that first couple verses of that scripture, Paul says that you must put on the whole armor of God that you can withstand. Hey, you know what he says right after that? He says, we withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Hey, the devil don't want you to stand this morning. The enemy don't want you to stand. Look at the next verse, 14. Stand. We're supposed to take a stand this morning. A stand against the enemy. The enemy wants to beat us down. The enemy knows our weakness. He knows what it's going to take to make you turn your back. Hey, one thing I say about the enemy, he's a liar. Amen. Hey, the devil's a liar. John 8:44 says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's a liar this morning. Hey, I've already told you, he's going to tell the choir this morning that they didn't do a good job. He's going to tell the preacher this morning that he wasted his time. He's going to sit there and tell you this morning while the Lord's dealing with your heart, hey, you don't need him this morning. He's a liar. He's going to tell you this morning, if you're here at church, hey, don't worry about coming back tonight. They ain't going to miss you. He's a liar. Hey, he's going to tell you when sickness hits home, when things beat you down, that not to pray to God, that it don't do no good. He's a liar. Hey, this morning you must remember that the enemy is a liar. Hey, we see, I can't help but thank people nowadays. Hey, Sim, we'll just brush that under the rug. Hey, Brother Timmy, you know anybody that'll tell you that that's okay to do it now when the Bible plainly says that it ain't? Hey, I think about things people look at nowadays and it's just, oh, we just sweep that under the rug. Hey, we serve a God with grace. We serve a God with mercy. He'll forgive you of that. Don't worry about that. Hey, that's a lie this morning. You're supposed to try to do right. You're supposed to try to do the best you can. You do serve a God with grace. You do serve a God with mercy. You do serve a God that loves you. You serve a God that sent his son to die on an old rugged cross for our soul. Hey, but we shouldn't sin willingly. Hey, the devil's a liar this morning. You say, well, what's he lie about? Hey, there's people out there on drugs. Guess what the devil's telling them? Hey, that's okay. That's all right. God still loves you. Hey, there's gays and homosexuals standing in church all over the place. That's okay. Hey, that's a lie. That's a lie. The Bible plainly tells us that's a lie. Hey, there's people that believe it's okay. Hey, just to drink that beer every once in a while, that's a lie. Hey, if you're a child of God, you shouldn't want to do those things. Hey, the devil, he is a liar. He is the enemy this morning. Hey, I told a boy, old buddy of mine at work, he likes to drink a beer every now and then with the boys when they run the deer dogs, and he says that's okay. But, you know, I remember when I was a lost man, I grew up in church. I remember when I was a lost man, if that man would have tried to tell me about Jesus and I'd have walked to his truck and seen a beer in his hand, you know what he just did? Hey, he's lost it all to me. He ain't what he says he is. We must not be half-hearted Christians this morning. We must realize there's a devil. There's an enemy trying to beat us down this morning. He wants to devour you. He wants to take you away. But we must realize, like I said, that the enemy's already been defeated. He's already been defeated. Jesus came. He's already conquered the grave. He's already win. He's already defeated. And we already know where the devil's going to end up at. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hey, he's already been defeated this morning. The Bible already tells us that God is greater than the devil this morning. But yet we'll sit here and we'll let the enemy beat us down. We'll let the enemy beat us down so low that we'll sit in a church pew and we can't find the cause to worship. Hey, we'll sit in a church pew and we'll just sit there and we'll be quiet. We won't praise God. We won't know what to do. Hey, I think about old Job. Old Job. Hey, God come, or devil come, and God told him, he says, you try my servant Job. Hey, the Bible says Job was a perfect and upright man. Oh, man, I just wish I could live to that title. I wish God could say that about me. Hey, but we find that God gave permission to the devil to try Job. Hey, Job, he lost his camels. He lost his livestock. He lost his oxen. He lost his ass. He lost his children. Hey, everything he had was took from him. Hey, but what did Job do? Job rent his clothes off, shaved his head, and fell to the knees and praised God. He worshiped God. Naked I come into the world, and God brought him in. And he'll praise him when he leaves. Hey, I just want to be like Job this morning. We must realize that the devil's already been defeated. The enemy's already been defeated. Ephesians 6:10, if you don't believe me, says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He's way stronger than the devil ever thought about being. He's already been defeated. Point number two that I want to point out to you, verse 13. It says, verse 13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Hey, you must put on the whole armor this morning. You must have the whole armor this morning. You can't walk around with the breastplate at the house and the helmet on your head. It don't work. Hey, let me tell you something about the devil. He knows where to hit you at. He knows where to hit you at. Hey, if you got friends that's lost, guess who the devil's going to try to use? He's going to try to use them friends that's lost. Hey, why you got to go to church every Sunday, man? You don't want to come duck hunt with us this Sunday? Hey, why you got to go to church every Sunday? You don't want to go to the NASCAR race with us this Sunday? Hey, why you got to go there on Wednesday night? You just went Sunday morning, Sunday night. Why you got to do that? The devil knows what it's going to take. The devil knows what to use. Half-hearted Christians, we talked about them a little bit. Hey, half-hearted Christian, you want me to tell you what he'll do? He'll come to Sunday morning service, but he won't come to Sunday night service. He'll come to Sunday morning service, but he won't be here Wednesday night. Hey, I'm just telling you like it is this morning. I believe if you follow God and you're a true child of God and you got the whole armor of God on, you're going to want to be in God's house. You're going to want to be around God's people. You're going to want to do the things of God. You're not going to want to do the things of the world. Hey, we must have it all on or it ain't no good. Hey, if I got armor on my feet but nothing on the top half of my body, hey, it's easy to take me out. If I got my helmet of salvation on but not my breastplate of righteousness covering my chest, it's easy to take me out. Hey, if I got my helmet, my breastplate on but nothing on my, from my waist down, guess what? It's easy to take me out. You must put on the whole armor of God. It takes it all. It takes it all to fight the devil. That's what Paul said, the whole armor to withstand the evil day. Hey, next thing I see is that it takes an effort. You got to do your part this morning. Amen. It takes an effort to fight the wiles of the devil, to go against the methods of the devil. It takes effort this morning. Hey, he said you must put it on. It didn't come automatically. Hey, it's something that you got to get up every day and put on. You don't sleep in it. You put it on every morning when you wake up. Every day it's a battle. Every day there's going to be a battle. It don't just stop. Hey, I thought about old Abraham and Isaac as they were going up that mountain. Old Abraham, y'all know the story, Genesis chapter 22. God tells Abraham, he says, take your son, your only son, the one that thou lovest, and take him to the mountain that I'm going to tell you about, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. Hey, we find that Abraham, the Bible says, he woke up early in the morning, and he took two servants, a donkey. He got out there, and he clave the wood. He split the wood. He did the work, and they going. And they get there, and the Bible says that he sees the mountain. God told him about. And they get to the bottom of that mountain, and Abraham tells the two servants, he says, y'all stay here with the donkey. Me and the lad's going to go up the mountain and worship. He says, we're going to go up there and worship. And I thought about old Abraham, and I thought about just when God told him, hey, take your son, your only son, bring him to me, give him to me. What kind of armor you think he had on? Hey, he had it all on, I promise you that. He had it all on. Hey, no doubt Isaac loved him, or Abraham loved him. No doubt Abraham was going to take him up the mountain. He was going to do the will of God, but he had to have the whole armor on. I imagine no different than it is with us. I imagine all the way up that mountain in his mind, man, I really don't want to do this. I can't help but think it crossed his mind. The Bible don't say it did, but I just can't help but think, hey, those Bible characters that we keep referring to, they're the same people we were. Hey, I can't help but think that through his mind, he says, I don't want to give my Isaac up. Hey, we prayed for this Isaac. God, why you want him? Hey, why are you going to take him from me? But you know what he did? He got up that morning. He put on his whole armor, and he went. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, old King Nebuchadnezzar. He said, boys, y'all supposed to bow down when the music's played. And them old three Hebrew boys, you know what they said? Well, I'm scared to discuss that matter with you. We're not even going to talk about that. Hey, I know the God that I serve, but they knew the God that they serve. They told Nebuchadnezzar that whether you throw us in there, God's going to deliver us. If it kills us, he'll deliver us. If we don't get thrown in there, he'll deliver us. We're winners either way, but you know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to do? They had to put on the armor. They had to take a stand. The Bible says that you must put on the whole armor that you're able to withstand the evil day. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they withstood the evil day. You know the story. They threw them in there. The two men that threw them in was slew. The fire was so hot. King Nebuchadnezzar, he looked and he said, there looks to be a fourth man that looks like the Son of God. Hey, they put on the whole armor of God. Hey, this morning, you got to have your whole armor on. I'm telling you, he'll get in your head. He'll get up there. You got the helmet of salvation. We'll talk about it in just a little while. He'll get in that head if you ain't got it covered up. He'll get in that heart if you ain't got it covered up. Hey, he'll get in your feet and you'll run away from God as hard as you can if you ain't got them covered up. We see that we must put on the whole armor of God. Point number three in verse number 14. Verse number 14, we're going to talk about the armor. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Hey, your loins girded with truth. I don't know how many people know what a girdle is and about a soldier back in the day, so we'll just explain it. The girdle went around their waist. Hey, the girdle went around their waist, and that's what their weapons hung on. Hey, the girdle went around their waist, and that's what held their tunics down, so when they ran and when they were in battle, their tunics wouldn't get hung on things. Hey, we see that we must have our loins girded together with truth. Hey, I want you to know what the truth is this morning. You must have your loins girded. Think that. John 14:6 says, Jesus saying unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You must stand on the truth this morning. Hey, I thought about my belt. I don't have a girdle on, but I got a belt on. Hey, my belt, if I go over there and I take my belt off and I lay it on that pew, and I walk by here about three or four times, my pants is going to fall down. Hey, my shirt's going to come untucked. It's just not going to be a good time at Liberty Free Will Baptist Church this morning. Hey, the girdle of truth is what holds it all together. It holds it all together. What's the truth? The truth is Jesus. Hey, what holds it all together this morning? Jesus. You know why you come to church this morning? Jesus. Hey, you know who gave me my family this morning? Jesus. You know who gave me my children? Jesus. Hey, you know who gave me a decent job that I make decent money at and I got a decent house to live in and, hey, my head don't get wet when it rains, my refrigerator's full of food? Hey, Jesus. He holds it all together this morning. It's all him. It's not Brother Timmy. It's not me. Hey, it's not Tommy Hazelden at Piney Grove. Hey, it's Jesus this morning. We must stay held together in Jesus this morning. Hey, and Brother Timmy, I thought about the truth. Hey, you know what our job is? Our job is to preach the truth. We must preach the truth. When you sing songs, you must sing the truth. When you teach Sunday school, you must teach the truth. Hey, people need to know the truth this morning. Hey, when you go out there in the world and you tell people about Jesus, you know what you're doing? You're telling them the truth this morning. Hey, that's what it's all about, the truth holding it all together. Hey, we seen that they had their girdle on, the girdle bound in truth. The girdle is what held their tunics down. The girdle kept them from getting hung up. Hey, the girdle had a very important role. Another thing I see about the truth this morning, the church has to be built on the truth this morning. Hey, the church has to be built on the truth. The church is held together by the truth. Hey, you start getting the truth out of here. You don't let Jesus come in here. Y'all put Jesus out of here, and you do things your own way. You know what's going to happen to the church. Hey, we talked about it in the first one. The enemy's going to devour it. Hey, the church must stand on the truth this morning. Hey, we're going to move on. Point number four. The breastplate of righteousness, same verse, verse 14. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Hey, I thought about that breastplate. What's that breastplate cover up? Everything vital. Everything vital. But there's one organ in there, and under that breastplate, and that's your heart. Hey, I thought about that heart. Hey, you got to have your heart covered up this morning. You got to have your heart hid from the devil this morning. That devil, he'll get in your heart. You know what the Bible says about your heart? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. I got the verse wrote down. I don't want to misquote it. Let's go back to it. Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Hey, let me tell you something about your heart. If your heart has Jesus in it, if your heart has God in it, you want me to tell you where your treasure is going to be? It's going to be in Jesus. It's going to be in God. Amen. Hey, if your heart is stuck at a NASCAR track on Sunday, I use that for an example because mine was there at one point, just filling y'all in. There's nothing wrong with this stuff, but you can't put it before God. Amen. Hey, I don't have a problem standing to admit to you that I put NASCAR before God at one point. That's crazy. Hey, that's crazy looking back now. But if you'll be honest, there's something in your life that you've put before God. Just NASCAR was mine, and I'm okay with admitting it. Hey, but if your worldly possessions is what's in your heart, that's where your treasure's at. You're going to put that before God. Amen. Hey, if this church is in your heart, you know what you're going to do? You're going to volunteer for the church. You're going to do the things of the church. You're going to want to come to church. You're going to want to do the things of God at the church. This morning, if God's in your heart, that's what you're going to worry about. You're going to want to do God's work. You're going to want to be in God's will. You want God's provisions on your life. Hey, but I just thought about a few things. My son, he's not with me this morning, but he's fixing to turn 17. Hey, you know what he's crazy about right now? Women and trucks. I mean, that's all you hear about. Trucks, vehicles, and women. He's talking to one woman, and he's talking about a truck in the same sentence. That's all he cares about. But you want me to tell you where his heart sounds like it's at to me? As bad as this is going to sound, it's on the women and the trucks. Hey, he needs to get his heart focused on God. He needs to put God first. Hey, and I tell him, and you tell him, and you tell him over and over and over again, we were all there. Hey, just because he's the preacher kid don't make him perfect now. Hey, where your heart's at, where your treasure's at, there your heart will be also. I thought about big houses. Hey, there's nothing wrong with big houses. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with some of this stuff I'm talking about. You just can't put it before God. Hey, there's some people out there so focused on a big house, so focused on the worldly possessions, the trucks, the cars, the women, the boys, the husbands, the wives, different things. They just put God to the side. You can't have your heart set on that stuff. We must put on the breastplate of righteousness. We see that the devil will go for that heart. And the Bible says that's where your treasure's at. So if he gets that heart, you know what's happening to God? You've done pushed him out. He's gone. Hey, he's gone this morning. Hey, I don't have mine with me. It's in the car. But cell phones. Cell phones. Hey, cell phones. There's a lot of people that like that cell phone now. There's a lot of people at home right now watching this service on a cell phone that could be here this morning. Amen. But you know why? Because their treasure's at home. Their treasure's in that phone. They don't care about coming to God's house because it's live. They want to just sit at their house in the comfort of their home, and they think that's okay. Hey, I've had to do it. I've had to be sick before, miss a service, watch it online. That's wonderful. Hey, there's some people that can't come to the house of God. That's wonderful for it to be an option. But if you're able, if you're physically able, you should be in God's house this morning. Hey, we see that we must keep our heart covered up. I thought about our jobs. Our jobs. Hey, jobs can be a good one. Jobs can be people. Hey, they'll do all they can for their boss, man. All they can for their boss, man. Hey, but you ask them to sing at church? No, that ain't. Hey, you ask them to stand and teach a Sunday school class, teach a men's fellowship, teach a women's Bible study? No, that ain't happening. Hey, you want me to tell you why? Because your treasure's at your job. Your treasure's at your job this morning. Hey, if you're doing it for the will of God and not for your will, hey, get up here and sing till you bust the windows out the church. I promise God will love it. Hey, get back there and cry and be nervous the whole time you're teaching, but you know what you're doing? You're doing God's work. God will love it. Hey, it's about what's in your heart this morning. I see the breastplate of righteousness. We must keep our hearts covered up this morning. Point number 5, verse number 15. It says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Hey, and as I thought about my feet, I'm about 6'2", probably pushing 290 now. I got some big feet. I got some 13 wides. Hey, you must have a good foundation. Hey, my feet is my foundation. It talks about shod with the gospel of peace. You know what your foundation should be? The gospel. Your foundation should be Jesus. Your foundation should be God. Hey, in the book of Matthew, hey, it talks about two houses being built. And it talks about one having a foundation that was solid, one that was a foundation of rock. And the rains came and the winds blew. What happened to the house? It still stood. Hey, but the one that was built on the sand, the one that didn't have the gospel in his feet, hey, the one that didn't have a good foundation, the rains came and the winds blew and it fell. But that ain't all that happened. The Bible says, and great was the fall of it. Hey, this morning, if you ain't got a good foundation, you ain't just going to fall. You ain't just going to fail. It's going to be a great fall. It's going to be a great failure. You must have a solid foundation. You know, soldiers back in this time, they would take spikes and they would drive them through their sandals. You say, well, that don't make no sense. And so when they were in battle, they wouldn't slip. They were putting a good foundation under their feet. So when they fought, hey, he's done told us we're fighting an enemy this morning. We're fighting the devil this morning. We must have a good foundation. Amen. Or he'll fight. He'll blow. Hey, it's like the three little pigs that blow your house down now. I'm telling you. Hey, you got to have a good foundation this morning. We see that we got a good foundation. Hey, but I thought about some things about a foundation. We done hit on a little bit. Hey, does people know what kind of foundation you got by the way you talk? Hey, away from church, how do you talk? Hey, away from church, how do you walk? Hey, away from church, what do you do? Hey, the foundation, you got a good foundation, what you gonna talk about? God. If you got a good foundation, you know what you're gonna walk like? God, being a Christian, Christ-like, we're supposed to try to be as much like him as we can. Amen. Hey, you must have a good foundation this morning. You must stand on the rock this morning. I thought about old Elijah over there in 1 Kings chapter 18, I believe, right? And he goes there and the prophets of Baal, and he tells them, he says, I tell you what we're going to do. He said, how long should we halt between two opinions? Talking about Baal and God. If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. Hey, Elijah had a foundation now. I'm telling you, if you don't know who Elijah is, go back and read 1 Kings chapter 18 to the end, beginning of 2 Kings. You'll find out about a man that had a foundation. Hey, but Elijah tells him, he says, we're gonna do this thing. He said, we're going to take two bullets, and we're going to bring them in. He said, I'm going to take one bullet, and you're going to take a bullet. And you're going to take your bullet, and you're going to prepare it the way you want to prepare it, and you're going to lay it on your altar. And you're going to call on Baal. And Elijah says, I'm going to take my bullet. And I'm going to prepare it. And I'm going to call on God. And whichever one sends the fire down, that's the one we're going to serve. Amen. Hey, you know the story. You'll find that the people, they went there and they prepared that bullet. And they laid him on the altar. Hey, and they began shouting and screaming and praising and cutting themselves, calling on Baal. And old Elijah, he's just leaning over there in the corner. And he says, hey, you must be talking to somebody or something. Hey, he must be on a journey. He's not answering you. Hey, and the Bible says that they jumped up on the altar. Hey, they went up on the altar. They were calling Baal to send the fire down. That tells you about how confident they were to start off with. Hey, they're standing on the altar. They're trying to get the man to send the fire down and destroy. Hey, it don't make no sense to me. Hey, they begin to cut themselves, gushing blood. And Elijah says, well, now it's my turn. Now it's my turn. So we find that Elijah, the Bible says that he repaired the altar, the one that they tore down. He repaired that one. And he got his 12 stones, and he put them in order. And he laid his bullock upon there. And he takes, I believe it was 12 barrels of water, and he pours it around. He digs a trench around his altar. He pours his barrels of water on it. What does Elijah do? He begins to pray. And he begins to pray. And he asks God, he said, God, send the fire down that they'll know that there's a God, that you're God. All Elijah wanted was God's glory to be seen. Hey, and the Bible says that the fire fell from heaven and destroyed it all. It licked the water up, destroyed the stones, the altar, the bullet. It was all gone. Hey, we see that Elijah had a foundation this morning. The foundation's what it's all about. Do you know if you take a house, I'll stay in a mobile home. You take a mobile home, it's on concrete blocks. Mine's probably 3 foot off the dirt. Hey, a good strong wind take that mobile home right out of there. Right out of there. It'll take the foundation and all right out from under. Hey, but you take a crawl space house or a slab house, a good foundation house. Hey, the wind might come. It might knock the house down. Hey, they might have to rebuild the house, but you know what's still in the dirt? The foundation. Hey, the foundation is important. You say, well, why is the foundation so important? Hey, sometimes we mess up. Hey, sometimes we fail. You're going to do it. There ain't no way around it. You're going to do it. Amen. We try. We try as hard as we can, but we still fail. But we must have a good foundation. As long as you got the good foundation of God, you know what you can do? You can rebuild. Amen. You can rebuild. Amen. Hey, but that mobile home, when them concrete blocks get wiped out, when they knock down, the mobile home ties are slung across the yard out there, the house is flipped over there on its back, you know what it is? It's totaled. It's done. Hey, you must have a good foundation this morning. Next thing we see is the shield of faith. Verse 16. Verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And I'm going to tell y'all something. This right here blew my mind because I just wouldn't have never thought it. The shields had leather covering on the outside of them. And they would take them shields and they would dip them in water. So when the fiery darts of the enemy hit them, it would quench them. It put them out. I thought that was kind of wild. I just thought that was neat. But we see here that we know we're going to get fiery darts shot at us. We know the enemy's going to battle us. And we must have the shield of faith. And as I was thinking about that shield of faith, you know what the shield does? It protects all the other armor. Hey, the shield's out front. Do you know that the shield is the only thing that you can move to protect what's coming? Protect from what's coming? I thought about that shield of faith. Everybody in here, we all got something a little different that we battle. Hey, there's some people that battle lust. Hey, there's some people that battle pride. There's some people that battle money, finances. There's some people that battle health issues. There's some people that battle things that their kids do. Hey, there's some people that just battle different things, worldly possessions, houses, trucks, cars. But we all got a battle, if we'll just be honest this morning. The shield is the only thing that you can move in front of what you're battling. Hey, but you want me to tell you what happens to a shield after it gets hit so many times? It starts to break. Hey, that shield will start to break. It'll start to give in. Has your faith ever been weak this morning? Hey, be honest with me this morning. It's a shield of faith. Has your faith ever been weak this morning? Hey, if you tell me it ain't, Mark chapter 4 or 5, I believe, 4 or 5, I can't remember. Hey, the disciples, they're on a boat, and a storm comes up. And I want you to know that the Bible says that storm arose. It weren't a storm that they prepared for. It was a storm that they didn't know was coming. Hey, it arose out of nowhere. Hey, but they go back there to shield. The Bible says that the waves beat in the ship. The ship was full. Hey, I don't know about where y'all read at or where y'all go to school at, but when it tells me that the waves beat in the ship, I can't help but think the ship's full of water. Hey, the ship's about to go down. The ship's had about all it can take. And you know what they do? They go back there to the hinder part of the ship and they awake Jesus. Master, do you not care that we perish? And Jesus rises up. Peace be still. It's all over. Hey, I see the shield of faith this morning. Hey, them boys, Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. Hey, don't tell me your faith don't get weak this morning. The disciples, the ones that walked with Jesus, the ones that seen the miracles of Jesus, the ones that seen what Jesus could do firsthand, every time they got in trouble, hey, their faith got weak. Hey, our faith is going to get weak this morning. I see the shield of faith. You know how you rebuild that shield of faith? Hey, prayer. Prayer and supplication. Verse 18. Hey, pray. Pray, you must pray. You know how you rebuild that shield this morning? Hey, get in that book. Get in that Bible. That'll rebuild that faith. Hey, you know how you rebuild your shield of faith this morning? Hey, call Brother Timmy. Look around in the church this morning. I've never seen a battle with one soldier. Hey, there's plenty of soldiers sitting in here this morning that's here to help you rebuild your faith this morning. There's plenty of soldiers in here this morning that's ready to help you battle. Hey, I see the shield of faith. It's the only thing we see that we can move in front of what's coming. Hey, I can't help but think about some things that we must shield from. We must put our shield in the way of, hey, youngins and travel ball teams, kids ruling houses. Hey, there's parents that don't have no rights over their children. Their children run the household. Hey, put your shield in front of that. Hey, you supposed to be the leader, daddies. Hey, you supposed to be the leader, husbands, uncles, grandpas. Hey, the man is supposed to be the leader of the house. Amen. Hey, you supposed to pray with them. You're supposed to lead them. Put your shield in front of that. Don't let that take your shield out the way. Hey, sports. Oh, man, sports. We get so caught up on what's popular. Hey, the popularity of my family. Hey, Timmy, Larry Moore, if we'll be honest, it's kind of easy to want to preach so good that somebody knows your name, ain't it? Be honest with me this morning. Hey, you want to be so good as a Sunday school teacher that you want people to know who you are. Hey, you must put your shield in front of that pride this morning. Amen. Hey, it's not about me. Amen. It's not about Brother Timmy. It's about him. We already talked about it this morning. It's not about the Sunday school teacher. It's about him. Amen. It's not about the one in here with the best voice. It's about him this morning. Amen. Hey, put your shield in front of your pride this morning. We see that the shield can get broken, but it can get repaired. The last one we see is my favorite one. Oh, we got two more, not the last one. We see the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, verse 17. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We're going to talk about the helmet of salvation. Hey, that helmet of salvation, you know what it covers up? your head, your mind. Hey, that devil, he can get in your mind now. Hey, he can get in your mind. Hey, somebody ever told something at church and you heard it and you just, that thing spun all over you, got all over you, you didn't know what you were going to do. Hey, you got church hurt, you was beat down, you didn't want to talk to that person. Let me tell you what that is. That's the devil getting in your mind. Amen. Hey, you must put on the helmet of salvation this morning. Keep him out your mind. Your mind must stay sharp. We done seen that that the Bible says be sober, be vigilant. Be sober, keep a straight mind. Hey, put your helmet of salvation on. As I got to thinking about that helmet this morning, I want to talk about the design of the helmet a little bit. That helmet, it come around like that, about over their peripheral vision there, and it had that bar down the front of it. Hey, you know what that's for? To keep their eyes on the target. Hey, don't worry about what's going on in this world around you. Don't worry about what's going on at the church down the road. Don't worry about what's going on at your neighbor's house. Don't worry about what your neighbor's got that you don't. The Bible tells us all that. Don't want what your neighbor's got. Hey, keep your eyes on the target this morning. Our eyes should be focused on one thing, building the kingdom of God and entering in ourselves. That's what our minds should be focused on. Hey, I know they're sick. I know there's people struggling financially. Don't let that stuff blur your vision. Keep your mind focused this morning. The old mules, they used to put them blinders on them so they'd stay straight. That's what the helmet was designed for, to keep them straight, keep them focused on what's ahead. Hey, we must keep the devil out of our mind this morning. The last one I see, my favorite one. Hey, the sword of the Spirit. Verse 17 again, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hey, I've already told you. I hope everybody in here's got their sword this morning. Hey, I believe you aren't to have your sword. I believe you aren't to have your sword at all times. Hey, a soldier that goes to battle, a soldier that's battling the devil, let me tell you, if you ain't got your sword, you ain't got nothing to fight with. Hey, you can defend yourself, but you can't fight him off. Hey, it's the only weapon that was mentioned. Hey, it's the only offensive item that was mentioned was the sword. Hey, I tell you one thing I see about a sword. Everybody has got their own sword. I'm going to just make an example. But Timmy, you got your Bible open, so I'm going to use you for a minute. It says the sword is what? The word of God. If I take your Bible right here, I'm going to just hold it just a second. I know it's precious to you. Y'all see Timmy's Bible? It's black. Mine's brown. Y'all see that? Hey, the scripture we read in Brother Timmy's Bible is on page 792. In my Bible, it's on page 1004. Hey, Brother Timmy's Bible, it's a little thicker than mine. Hey, you want me to tell you why? This is Timmy's sword. This is Dylan's sword. Hey, everybody's got their own sword.
That's right.
Thank you, brother. Hey, everybody's got their own sword. Hey, if Brother Timmy's got his sword and I ain't got mine, I can't fight. Hey, you got to have your own sword this morning. Everybody's sword's a little different, but everybody's sword serves the same purpose. It's to fight the enemy this morning. To fight the enemy this morning. Hey, we see that you got to have your sword. We see that the sword is the only weapon. We see that the sword is how we fight. But I'm going to tell you something else about that sword. It helps defend. You can take that sword and defend. Hey, if the devil's trying to attack me with his sword, I can take my sword and block his sword. Hey, it's to help defend. You ever known somebody that kind of fell out of church and done some things they shouldn't do, and then somebody will go talk to them and they just beat them to death. I mean, just beat them down. Hey, the sword ain't always meant to kill. The sword ain't always meant to destroy. The sword ain't always meant to take somebody out. Hey, sometimes the sword's meant for defense. Hey, Brother Timmy, I should be able to defend my lifestyle with this sword. Amen. You should be able to defend your lifestyle with this sword. Amen. This ain't nothing but a roadmap that tells us how to live, that tells us how to follow God, to tell us what we need in our life. Hey, you should be able to take the sword and defend yourself this morning. This morning, we see the armor that Paul's talking about here. This morning, I just got one question for you. If y'all want to come with an invitation song, we'll wrap it up. This morning, I just got one question for you. Are you ready for battle this morning? Are you ready this morning? Are you ready to stand against the wiles of the devil this morning? Maybe you say, preacher, I've been in this thing a while. Hey, but I ain't going to lie to you. I've took my breastplate off, and I've left it over there in the corner. Hey, pick that thing up. Let's get back to battle this morning. Pick that thing up, and let's fight the wiles of the devil this morning. Pick that thing up, and let's put the methods of the devil aside this morning. Hey, maybe you're here this morning, and you say, I don't use my sword quite like I'm supposed to. Hey, I don't even know nothing about the sword. Hey, would you come this morning? Give it to God this morning. That's what it's all about. It's all about Him this morning.